Well, good evening. So I decided tonight we're going to spend the next 2 to 3 hours talking about how the internet works. So be fun. Well, my name's Eric, if you don't know me. I'm one of the ministerial staff here at the church, and tonight we're going to be going through Joshua. I do teach IT-related classes at a job, that's why the joke, but we're not really going to do that. We're going to be going through Joshua, just the first 9 verses in chapter 1. So if you want, go ahead and turn there. And we will pray before we get into it. God, I just want to thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here with us as we worshiped. Thank you for being with the team over in the Philippines as they're starting their day and getting about the work that they're doing over there. I'm glad that you're a God that can be with them as you're also with us here as we study your word tonight. I just pray you'd fill us with your spirit to hear it, and just pray you'd give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what we're going to do is talk tonight about having confidence and faith in God. I think if you want to raise your hand, I mean, who in the last 12 months at some point has had some doubts or doubted, if you were doing the right thing, if you were where God wanted you to be, or you probably struggled with that? If you look around, just put everyone's hands up. It's a common thing because it's something that we all deal with. And I'm not here to talk about how to get around that because I don't think we can. I don't think there's a way to not deal with that, to not struggle with dealing with those doubts at some point. But what we're going to do is take a look at Joshua and how he also needed to be encouraged. He needed to be told to be strong and courageous and lack confidence in the calling that God had given him for his life. And I think a common thing is that a lot of times I think we can get into something and at some point you doubt. You think, gosh, did God really call me to do this? Is this really where I'm supposed to be? And that's kind of what I think Joshua probably was at when he was with the people of Israel and going to enter into the promised land. And one of the reasons I picked this topic is this is something that, for those of you that don't know, my wife and I, Tiffany and I, are going through an adoption process. And for us, that's one of those things where we've doubted at times because it's something we started in 2012. I mean, it's 2016 now. It's 4 years later. We still don't have a kid. We're still going through this adoption process. It's been a long time. And so there's been times where we've doubted. We're like, did God really call us to do this? Is this something that we're really supposed to do? And so that time period has caused us to doubt if we were, in fact, on God's will, despite the fact there's been plenty of reasons why we believe we should be. There's plenty of things that have gone on in our lives, plenty of counsel, plenty of signs that have told us that we are on the right path. We still have, at different times, doubted it. And so that's why this is kind of a personal topic for me and why I wanted to teach on it, probably as much for myself as anything. And so Joshua was a man who was clearly called by God. I'm going to take a drink instead of holding this. But Joshua was clearly called by God, but yet what we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, 3 different points in these 9 verses, he's told to be strong and courageous. And so I think you can kind of gather from that even though he was the man of God, had a clear calling from God, he still needed to be told to be strong in what God had called him to do. So let's go ahead and we're going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, so Joshua spent the, quick backstory, Joshua spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. After that, he was with the people of Israel through the whole Exodus process. Shortly after that, and through that whole Exodus process, he became the servant of Moses. And so he was with Moses right up close all the way through, like the leaving the promised land, the Ten Commandments, all that stuff. He was with Moses. But in verse 1, we read that Moses died. And, Moses was probably one of the greatest men ever to live. And Joshua had to kind of come along beside him, then also take his place and take the leadership from Moses after Moses had died. And so, like I said, three times in these verses, we read that Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. And the thing that stands out to me, or one of the things, is that I always assume that Joshua, or I shouldn't say assume it, but I always picture Joshua as being a young man. Like, he's 30, 40 years old, but he's not. He's like 85 at this point. So he's not like a young guy who like needs to be encouraged. He's 85 and he's seen God do tons of stuff throughout his lifetime, but yet he still needed to be told, hey, be strong and courageous. You might lack some faith. Maybe you're doubting right now, but be strong, be courageous. I'm with you. That's what God's telling this old man, Joshua, just before they go into the promised land. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how God first called Joshua. Also how God calls us, just like God called Joshua, God also calls us and has a calling for each of us in our lives. But just like Joshua, we often can, at some point, start to doubt that calling and start to think that we're not in the right place, that we've gotten off track at some point. And so first off, the thing we're going to start with tonight is God's call. You have to know that God called you, right? If you're going to have any kind of confidence, you first have to know that God indeed did call you. And so Joshua couldn't have had any kind of confidence if he wasn't first sure at some point in his life that he had this calling from God. And so what reasons does Joshua have for having this courage? Like, what reasons does Joshua have for having the faith and courage that God did call him? And so a couple of them. One is that he started off as a servant. He started off by serving Moses. He spent, like I said, the whole Exodus time period, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, he was the servant of Moses. He was right up close. On Exodus 24, it says that when Moses arose, it says he arose with his assistant Joshua and went up to the mountain of God. So like when Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, Joshua went up with him. No one else, just Joshua. So he served underneath Moses for a long time. And so he was underneath someone else's spiritual leadership. He was underneath the guidance of another man of God. And that's one reason why Joshua could have confidence, because he had served underneath someone else. And so as we look at our own lives, I think we need to consider, are we doing that? Are we underneath the spiritual leadership of someone else? Are we serving under someone else? Because that's a place where you can gain confidence for your own calling, is by first being a servant underneath someone else's spiritual leadership. So the pastors of a church, the leaders of a group you're in, here at the church, but you need to serve underneath someone else so you can have confidence that you are in fact in the right place. And that's what Joshua did for many years. So that's one reason that Joshua could have confidence, is that he had served under Moses. Another reason Joshua could have confidence is that he had been faithful throughout that whole time period. Not perfect. No one's perfect. Joshua wasn't a perfect man. He didn't serve perfectly like none of us do. But he had been faithful in the calling that he'd been given. If you remember, if anyone that's read through the Old Testament, 40 years before Joshua 1, the nation of Israel had tried to go into the Promised Land. And what happened is they sent 12 spies into the land to check it out. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you probably know that. So these 12 spies go in. Joshua and Caleb are two of those spies. I'm not going to talk about Caleb. There's 10 other guys. But Joshua is one of the two spies that says, hey, we can do this. The other 10, or 10 of the 12 spies are like, no, this is too much. This land is too difficult. We can't take it. If we try to go in, we're not going to make it. We're not going to survive. The challenge is too hard. And so Joshua, though, stood against all 10 of those guys, plus the whole nation of Israel, and said, no, God has given us this land. We can do it. And so Joshua absolutely had confidence that they could take the land at that point. Like, he was faithful to go in as a spy, and he was faithful to say that God could deliver the land to them. And so in Numbers, we're just going to read a couple of verses there. Numbers 32, if you want to look it up, is the whole kind of story of that happening. But verses 10 through 12 talk about that. It says, "So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying..." So this is the point where the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness started for the nation of Israel. "It says, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." So a reason that Joshua could have confidence in his calling from God is because he had been faithful. He had followed God for years, and he was faithful to be obedient to the calling that God had placed upon him. So he served underneath Moses, and he was faithful to his own calling. And so if we're going to be faithful, that's something else. I mean, we need to serve underneath other people, serve underneath the church leadership, but we also need to be faithful to the things that God's given us, faithful in the tasks that we've been given. And so if you're looking to have confidence in your calling, you need to first be faithful in what God's currently given you to do. And so it's something to look at. And it may be that you aren't faithful and you know that. Maybe you know that you're falling short. Maybe you know that you need to improve upon that in your own life. But you might need to ask someone. The analogy I thought of, I kind of joked about talking about the internet, but with technical things, I can explain like a technical topic to you. I could stand up here and talk about something technical thing about how the internet works and how it functions. How you can type in google.com and it downloads files off of a server somewhere in the world and gives you a web page. I could explain that and then ask you if you get it, and you might think, yeah, I get it. But the problem is, a lot of times with technical topics like that, you think you understand, but if you don't really know enough about it, you don't really know if you understand or not. So it's kind of like if you try to explain how a car engine works to me, you maybe could give me a rough example, and I'd think, oh yeah, I get that. Mike could tell me how a car engine works or something, and I'd be like, yeah, I understand. But I probably don't understand, I just think I do, because I don't really know enough to know if I understand or not. You know what I mean? And so that's true with us being faithful to God. I think sometimes it's good to ask someone else if they see us as being faithful. Ask a close friend, ask someone else, do you see me screwing up? Do you see me being faithful at what I'm currently doing? Because sometimes it takes that outside perspective to figure that out in our own lives. And so do you know if you're being faithful? Sometimes you think you are, but we're not, and so we need to figure that out. If you want to have confidence in the calling that God's placed upon us and confidence in God, we need to be faithful in what we're doing. We need to be faithful to follow someone. And Joshua was both of those things, and God gave him a clear calling. Joshua had been faithful. He'd served under Moses, and so God gave him a very specific and clear calling on what he needed to do. In Deuteronomy, and I'm just going to read a verse from Deuteronomy, and this is from the very end of the life of Moses. So if you just were in Joshua and you turn back a page, there's you don't need to if you don't want, but Deuteronomy 31 is kind of Moses giving his final address to the people of Israel. And part of that, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, again, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with his people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. So very clearly, Joshua is told, hey, here's what you're called to do. Now, I don't think I've gotten a call like that from God where God's like, here, let me verbally tell you exactly what you're to go and do. I mean, sometimes it is very clear, but Joshua definitely had a clear calling from God. He'd been faithful, he'd followed him, and now God gave him a very clear direction as to what he should be doing. Which is interesting that despite that, he still needed to be told, hey, be strong and courageous. You've got this clear calling from God, but be strong in that calling. Be courageous and confident in what God's called you to do. And so, each of us has that same kind of calling. So Joshua clearly was called by God. Joshua clearly had been given direction from God. And yet, we have the same thing. And we're not going to do a complete teaching tonight about how to find your calling. But it's clear from the Bible that if you're born again tonight, if you know Jesus, if you're following him, if you've dedicated your life to following Jesus, you also have a calling. In Ephesians 2, chapter 8, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's just one verse in the New Testament that makes it clear that we also have a calling from God, that each of us is called to do things, and more than just one thing. It's there's stuff that we're all called to do tomorrow. Maybe you're going to see your neighbor outside tomorrow and God's going to call you to go talk to that neighbor. Maybe you're going to run into someone at the store and God's going to call you to go help that person out. Maybe someone's going to drop their groceries in the parking lot, and God's like, hey, go help them out. So we have callings every day of our lives. We also have bigger callings, though. You know, directions we're supposed to go in. Maybe you're called to serve here at the church, to be on the worship team, to be in the video ministry, to do different things. So we each have that, to go on a mission trip, right? We all have callings from God. God's given each one of us a calling. He's called us to do things, which, a little side note, to me that's a very exciting thing. Just like God saves us, and God calls us, and God gives us a purpose. He gives us things to do, you know? And that's exciting to find that. It's exciting to see God doing that in our own lives. And sometimes, like, the times where I've probably felt the most, like, down on myself or the most kind of out of sorts is because I wasn't following God, or I felt like I didn't know what his calling was. And like, you kind of feel like, eh, it's kind of boring. I don't know what I'm doing. You know? Because, like, finding God's calling for our lives is huge. It's part of what kind of drives us as believers is to do the work that God's called us to do. At least it should. Like, we should have a desire to follow God and to know his calling and to do it. And so first off, if you want to have confidence in God, you've got to find that calling. And so you got to know what that calling is. A big one, honestly, are you called here? You know, are you called to this church? That's a big thing to decide, because we're all called to a church, so you got to know what church are you called to. Because here's the thing, is it gets hard at times. At the beginning, we all raised our hands. We've doubted at times. If you don't have confidence you're called to be here, to this church, when things get hard and difficult, it's easy to leave. And so it's important that you clearly know that God's called you to be here. And that's true for any calling. If you're over on a mission trip from the Philippines, you think, gosh, I don't think God called me to do this trip. I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I mean, if you weren't at some point confident in that, I mean, it's going to be really easy to be overwhelmed by those doubts and to be overwhelmed by the doubts instead of being confident that God's called you there. And so you need to decide what God's called you to. Like I said, we're not going to do an exhaustive study, but you can certainly open up your Bible and do a search or go to Google and say, what does the Bible say about, you know, my calling, about the Christian's calling? Because we all have individual callings. You know, we all have a thing that we're individually called to do, but there's plenty of things in the Bible that we're all told to do. Like, we're all told to study the Bible. We're all told to love our neighbors. We're all told to belong to a church. Like, these are just things that each one of us is called to do. And beyond that, we have an additional calling that God's called us as an individual to as well. And so we need to know what those things are. On Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So God has began a work in you. If you're born again today, if you're following Jesus, he's began a work in you. And he's going to complete that. And I think that I know for myself personally, and I'm guessing we've all probably would agree with this, that it's the personal calling that we have the trouble with. It's like, yeah, I know God's called me to love my neighbors. I know God's called me to read my Bible. But has God called me to work this job? Or has God called me to serve in this ministry? You know, it's those individual things that we do every day, those individual personal callings that God has for us that are easier to doubt because they're not as clear. And so it's easy to second guess those choices, I think, in those decisions, and start to think, I'm not sure anymore. You know, I was called to this. At one point I was confident, but now I'm not sure. I'm starting to doubt that calling now. You know, it's those personal things that we start to doubt, and then we start to lose our confidence in. And so you can be absolutely sure at some point in your life that this is it, this is where God's called me to be, or this is what God's called me to do, but then later on you start to doubt it. You start to lose that confidence and lose that faith and start to doubt that you're in the right place. And so, the next thing I want to look at then is, why does that happen? It's like, why do we have those doubts? Like, why does that come up? Three times, like I said, Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. More if you count the time in Deuteronomy, right? Then it's four times he was told to be strong and courageous. And so, why does this happen? Like, why do we lose this confidence? First off, I'm not going to be able to give you all the reasons. There's probably multiple reasons why you can doubt that. There's no way I would know everything. There's a couple in the text tonight that we're going to talk about, but there's a lot of different things that happen in our lives. There's a lot of different things that come up that can cause us to have those kind of doubts. A couple from the text tonight, though. One thing I think this is true for Joshua, is we can doubt because we see the task before us as being too big. So we see what God's called us to as being just too big of a task. And so we lose confidence that it's what God called us to. Joshua had begun in confidence. We talked about how back in Numbers 14, he had tried to convince the entire nation of Israel that they should go in and take the promised land. Right? He was one of those two of the 12 spies who tried to convince the nation of Israel to go in and take the land. Because he said, God's given it to us. I think one of the terms that come up, he's like, they're like bread to us. Like, we can easily take this land. God's called us to it. So like Joshua had a huge amount of confidence. He believed that God had called him into the promised land. But here it seems like he still needs to be encouraged in that in Joshua 1 when it comes time to actually go in and do it. And so we can see the task before us as being too big. And I think the flip side of that too is we can maybe see God as being too small. It's like we don't see God as big enough to do the task or to accomplish the task. Or to use us for the task. It just seems like it's beyond us. It seems too big. But it's important to remember, I think, that God calls us to where we need him. God doesn't call us to something that's easy. You know, God doesn't call us to things that are simple, that are no problem. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't need God. We could just go about our day and be no problem. But part of the reason I think we need to be told to have confidence is because the things that God calls us to are big things, at least big for us. You know, when I say big things, I don't mean we're all called to take the promised land and lead an army like Joshua was, but you are called to something big in your life that's big for you. And at different points in our lives, those big things are different. You know, if you're 20, your big thing is going to be different than when you're 40. You know, the big things in your life that God's called you to change over the years. But it's always a big thing. God calls us to areas where we have to rely on him. And so that's why it's easy for us to doubt, because that's where God calls us. He calls us to things that are difficult. That's the way he works. That's the way he worked in the life of Joshua. That's the way he works in our lives too. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we need to be encouraged, because God calls us to things that are beyond us. That's why we need faith. That's why you have to rely on God for what we're doing. And it could be something simple. You know, maybe you're called to start a relationship with a coworker, to have dinner with a coworker. And for you, that's scary because you've never done that. There's plenty of things, man, in my life. I grew up as the type of person that hated public speaking. I hated talking to anyone, really. Speech class was definitely the worst in high school. Which it was high school, so a lot of things were the worst, but sorry if you're in high school. But yeah, I definitely did not like that. Now I teach classes at a tech college, so God's called me to do these things that are a stretch, that were big, and things that were big for someone when you're 18 are not going to seem so big when you're 30, but the things you're called to when you're 30 or 40 or 50, they're going to be new and challenging, and things that you could have never handled when you were younger, age-wise or as far as like your spiritual age. You know, how long have you been saved? How long have you been walking with God? Because the more you walk with God, I think the bigger the tasks will get that God calls you to. At least that's the way it should be. But the more we walk with God, the bigger the task will be. So it might be something like, you know, you're called to go talk to your neighbor tomorrow, and God's been telling you to go interact with your neighbor. It's something we've talked about a lot around here in this church. You know, we need to be missional and get out and meet people and build relationships with people. And that's scary, you know? It's uncomfortable talking to people you don't know. And so maybe that's what God's calling you to, and that's a big thing for you, is to go do that. You know, maybe it's something else for you. It's something. There's no doubt about that. There's something right now that God's calling you to. And so often, though, we see it as being too big. And so it's easy to start to doubt because we see the task as being too much. And maybe we just don't think we can handle it. It's important to remember that, you know, I mean, God can, right? God can handle it. That'd be another good thing to study in the Bible, is all the times in the Bible where it says, but God. Happens a lot, right? Where this is happening, but then God stepped in. That's what it needs to be for our lives. So anyways, point was, you can doubt because the task that God called you to seems too big. And I think for Joshua, he had a big task before him. Here's another one, and this is one that I relate to with our adoption. Sometimes we doubt God's calling because it just takes too long. As you wait and as the years go by, and you believe God called you to something, but it hasn't happened yet, or it hasn't completed yet, you start to doubt. I mean, Joshua had 40 years in the wilderness to start to doubt God's calling. And so sometimes we just feel like God takes too long. And that time that passes, maybe it's only a couple weeks for you. You know, maybe it's a couple months, maybe it's years. And that time period causes you to start to doubt that God called you to whatever that thing is. You know, maybe you applied for a job 2 weeks ago and it's been 2 weeks and you're like, gosh, it must not be God's will. It's been too long, you know? Well, maybe, maybe not. And so sometimes the time period alone causes us to doubt. I think it's important to remember at that point too, this is kind of a side note, but God's not in a hurry. We all know that, right? I mean, if you study the Bible, it's clear that God doesn't hurry. Satan does. And so, you know, if you need to make a decision like right now, like tonight, you're not ready to make the decision, but you got to do it like today, right this second. You know, God's not in a hurry. Often Satan does push us to make quick decisions like that. So God's not in a hurry. Sometimes our doubt forms inside of us just because of that length of time where we're waiting for God's call to come about. We're waiting to see God's call happen. And lastly, and this isn't always the case, but also sometimes we can doubt, and that doubt can be self-inflicted because of our own sin. And that's actually given to us in Joshua chapter 7. And so I'm not saying by any means that this is always the case, that you're doubting God and lacking courage because of you sinned, you know, but it's possible. In Joshua 7, we'll read a couple of verses here. This is the point where Joshua and the nation, people of Israel, they'd taken over the Jericho, right? They conquered Jericho, that was done. Now they're going to go take Ai, the next like little town. Like they conquered like, you know, Madison, now they're going to go take Wheeler. So in Joshua 7, it says, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up from the people. They fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted because of and became as water. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? And so if you're not familiar with that story, Achan was a man who was part of Israel, and he'd taken some of the things that God told them not to take. So when they conquered Jericho, God said, don't take any of the spoil for yourselves, but he took it. So he was disobedient to God. So their failure at Ai, and you can see that Joshua all of a sudden is like, God, why did you bring us over the Jordan at all? It's like, why are we even doing this if we're just going to fail? It's like, why did you even bring us here? And maybe you can resonate with that. Maybe you're thinking, man, why am I even doing this? Why am I even here? And that's what Joshua was thinking. In this case, it was because of sin. Because a sin of someone in the nation of Israel had caused their failure and caused the rest of them to have doubt over their calling. So sin can cause you to doubt God's direction. And maybe you feel discouraged because there's sin in your life. I'm not saying you screwed up once, made a mistake, and fell down. But if you're currently living in sin, if there's currently something that God's calling you to deal with and you're not, then you're probably going to have doubt. You're going to have doubt over whether or not you're where you're supposed to be because of the sin. So not always the case, but definitely very possible that if there is sin in your life, that's causing you to doubt God. That's causing you to doubt that you're in the right place and to lose confidence in your calling because of sin. So if that's the case, you've got to deal with that. If you know that's you tonight, you should deal with it tonight. Don't wait. It's like whenever we know that there's sin in our lives, it's one of those things we should run to fix. And, you know, I've said this different groups, I think, before, but it's like failure is never the end for a Christian. It's like making a mistake is never the end for us. It's like when we're born again and we're following Jesus and we fail, we make a mistake, that's never the end of the story. And so the nation of Israel made a mistake here. It caused them to doubt God. It caused them to doubt, you know, if they should have even came into the promised land, right? But for them, it wasn't the end. And for us, it doesn't have to be the end either. So if you do have sin in your life, if that's the case for you, and you should make that right tonight. You should do whatever it takes to make that right. Okay, so those are a couple of reasons, right? So we went over our own sin can cause us to doubt God. The largeness of the task before us can cause us to doubt God's calling on our lives. And sometimes just the time it takes to see that calling come about can cause us to doubt God. So those are all three things. Maybe for you it's something else. Maybe for you there's some other reason why you're doubting God or you're doubting your calling before God. Because we all, like I said, we all face that at different times. We've all, you know, when we raised our hands there, I think everyone raised their hand. And if you didn't raise your hand, you probably should have been, right? Because if you're following God, at some point in our lives, we're going to doubt that we're in the right place. No matter how confident we were at the beginning, we're going to start to have doubt. So how do we overcome those doubts? So we know that we're called by God. We know that God's called us in our lives. God's given us a task to do. God's given us a calling. We know that there's different reasons why we can doubt that calling. Despite our huge amount of confidence at the start, at some point we can start to doubt and start to lose our confidence. And Joshua certainly made mistakes. But if you read through the rest of the book of Joshua, you know that he was successful. He successfully led the people of Israel into the promised land. And so while he needed encouragement along the way, he made it. He did it. And that can be true for us. Now, the things that we're going to talk about next, the things we can do to have confidence in God, this is no magic bullet. You know, there's nothing special about what we're going to talk about. In fact, it's going to be pretty basic and pretty easy. Because there is no magic bullet. There's no like, hey, if you just do this, your confidence in God just comes back. You know, there's no like magic fix for this. And so, where do we find our courage and strength when we lose it? When we lack our confidence in God, or if we've lost confidence in the calling that God's placed upon us, how do we get it back? First thing is through the Word of God. If you're lacking confidence, you need to get into the Word. Hebrews 13:5, it says that God will never leave us or forsake us. Romans 8:37, we are told that we are more than conquerors. And it's through Christ Jesus. So God will never leave us or forsake us, and we're more than conquerors. So if you feel a lack of confidence in God's calling upon your life, maybe you need to get into the Word. Maybe you need to study the Bible more. In Joshua chapter 1, some of the verses we read, verses 7 and 8, God spoke to Joshua on the same matter. He said, starting in verse 7, in Joshua chapter 1, "I'll only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you." So be careful to do according to all the law that you have from Moses. And it says, "Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way very prosperous, and you'll have good success." So we don't just need to read a few verses here and there. You know, we need to meditate on the Bible. We need to study it. That's like Christianity 101, right? Like, what do you do if you're a Christian? You read the Bible. But when you lack confidence in God, I think sometimes it's easy to forget that. And it's easy to go to some other method to get right with God. But what we need to do is get to the Bible. Like I said, it's no magic bullet, right? It's no mystery. It's the Word of God, and that's what we need to focus on. So when we are lacking confidence in what God's called you to do, maybe you need to study the Bible. Another one, I think this is a big one, is through the people around us. So we have the Word of God, we've got the people around us. Joshua didn't go into the Promised Land by himself. You know, he wasn't called by God to go in and conquer the land alone. He was called to go in with the entire nation of Israel. Hebrews 3:13, it says, "Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." It says, exhort one another every day. I think a lot of times the people around us don't know that we're struggling with doubt. They don't know what we're struggling with at all. And so they can't be of any help. So if the people in this church don't know that you're struggling, they can't help. And so a lot of times you're struggling with doubt and God's calling in your life, and you keep it to yourself. And so that's where it stays, with you. and it doesn't get any better. It just kind of stays the way it is. And so a lot of times we need to share those doubts. We need to share our struggles with people around us. And honestly, that's one of the ways that you can find out that the people here love you is by sharing your weakness with them. There's no way that you'll ever know for sure that the person sitting next to you loves you unless you give them an opportunity to do so. And that's hard because, for one, we all make mistakes. Sometimes you do that and, you know, you might get hurt. Probably will get hurt. But also, if you don't share your doubts and share your weaknesses, no one has that opportunity to help you and show you that they love you and show you how much they love you by being a comfort, by being a friend. And so we need to be open with people. We need to be transparent. I think that's something that, as a church, we probably need to grow in, is just being more open with each other and more transparent. Not with everyone. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you all of my doubts I've ever had in my life. But you don't need to do it with everyone, but you need to do it with someone here in this church. If this is indeed where God's called you to, then whatever you're struggling with, you need to talk to someone about it. And I think it's easy if you're married, that's your spouse. And it absolutely has got to be your spouse. It should be someone else too, though. I mean, Tiff and I talk about our struggles and our weaknesses, but I also talk to other friends about that too. There's other men in my life that I also talk to about the things that I doubt and the things that I struggle with. And so another way that we can deal with our weaknesses and deal with our doubts and be strong and be courageous is by going through those things with other people. And maybe you just need to be the first person to open up. Maybe the person next to you is struggling with the exact same thing that you're struggling with, but you have no idea. They have no idea. One of you needs to be the first person to open up and start that conversation. And so maybe that's what you need to do tonight, is you need to start to share those things with someone so that you can help each other out. I've got a quote from C.S. Lewis on that. This is from the C.S. Lewis book, The Four Loves. It's a pretty good quote. At least I enjoyed it. It's about friendship. And so this is C.S. Lewis. It says, "In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years' difference in the date of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at our first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work, Christ, who said to the disciples, 'You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you,' can truly say to every group of Christian friends, 'You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another.' So the friendship is not a reward for our discriminating good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others." So Kitch in the middle there, he said, "You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." That should be true of us. If God called all of us to be here together, that's true. God called us to be together. God called us to share our weaknesses with each other. And so we need to be doing that. If we're not, quite honestly, we're missing out on part of the Christian life. We're missing out on part of what God has called us to do. So God put us together for a reason. And if you doubt, they're even supposed to be here, though. If you have doubts and you keep those doubts to yourselves, it's not going to get better. So we need to talk to other people. We need to share those with someone. So through the Word of God and through other people, two ways that we can help come to be confident in our doubts. Come to have confidence in God again if we've lost it. Another one, which we're not going to spend much time on, is prayer. If you're not praying, talking to God about these things, that's something you need to be doing. If you're really struggling with doubt, because some people do this, right? We're tough. We just deal with stuff on our own. Muscle up and grin and, you know, put your chin forward and lean into the wind and I'm just going to deal with it. We don't talk to other people. We probably don't talk to God either. So you definitely need to be talking to God about your doubts. You need to be open with God. You know, sometimes it's like, I think it's easy to be afraid to share something with God. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to God about that. He might, you know, I can't share my weakness with God. You know, like he doesn't know. You know, like we don't even talk to God about something. It's like we're afraid to admit it out loud. But we need to. We need to pray and talk to God about our doubts and about the things that we lack courage in. 1 John 5:14, it says, "This is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So those are three ways that you can gain your courage, that you can get your confidence in God and deal with your doubts. Again, no magic bullet, right? There's no way that you can just get, never doubt. I don't think that's possible, to just never deal with doubt and to never have a lack of faith in God or a lack of faith in God's calling. But all that stuff by itself isn't going to do it. And so the last thing that you can do to deal with your doubts, the most important one, is you have to realize that the only way you can deal with a lack of confidence in God and a lack of confidence in your calling that God's placed upon you is through Jesus. Because none of us has the confidence to follow God and the confidence on our own to follow our calling. It's only through Jesus that we can have that confidence. If you really want to do a study, you should look at how the book of Joshua is a picture of Joshua, yes, leading the people into the promised land, but it's a picture of how Jesus leads us. And so if you want to have confidence in your calling, if you want to be confident that God called you to where you are and be confident in what you're doing, and you want to deal with the doubts you have, that can only happen through Jesus. So you can have faith and confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. It's like, if you really imagine, it's like, okay, you know, the book of Romans, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was at my worst, Jesus gave his life for me. That should give me confidence. And all the other stuff we talked about is meaningless if you don't have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus giving us that confidence, if we're not walking through life with Jesus every day, you're not going to have confidence. It's like we need to remind ourselves daily that God is for us, that God called us. Certainly, I in no way want to encourage anyone to have confidence in God if you're not in his will. You know, I'm not here to say, have confidence in God, even if you're in the wrong. You know, even if you're not in God's will, you should just, you know, here's how you can have confidence that you are in God's will. Absolutely not. If you're not in God's will, you shouldn't have confidence. But if you want to have confidence that God's called you, you can only do it through following Jesus. You can only do it through living a gospel-centered life every day. So you can have faith and confidence because of what Jesus has done through us, and only through him living in us can we have that kind of confidence today. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus overcame for us. Jesus, you know, the Bible says that he was tempted in all ways that we're tempted. Everything that we've faced, Jesus knows what it's like. So, I mean, who was weeping in the garden? I mean, Jesus wept in the Garden of Eden. He sweat drops of blood. And he was nervous. He was freaked out over what he was about to do. He was sweating drops of blood because he knew he was going to take all of our sin upon himself and be separated from God for a time because of us. And so it's like when we go through doubts, he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be afraid. He knows what it's like to face all the challenges that we face every day. And so if you want to have confidence in God, it can only come through Jesus. And so Joshua was given this clear calling from God, yet over time he started to doubt it. We've all faced that, right? At some point we probably had a clear calling that this is what God called us to do, this is where God wants me to be. I knew that at one point, but now, you know, whatever amount of time later, I'm starting to doubt it. And so there's no magic fix, I think, to gain that confidence, but there's things we should be doing. We should be in the Word of God, like we talked about. We should be sharing those things with each other. And we should be remembering that our victory only comes through Jesus. The people of Israel follow Joshua into their promised land. And so if you want to have victory, you want to have faith in God, you want to have the confidence that God has you indeed in the right place, and you are indeed where God's called you to be, it's got to come through Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus said, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth," this is the Great Commission, if you're familiar, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Jesus promises to be with us. And so if you have doubts today, Jesus is right there with you. If you lack confidence today, Jesus is with you. So just like Joshua led the people, Jesus is leading us. And so I just encourage you tonight, if you have a lack of confidence in your calling, you need to search your heart. See if there's a reason why you lack confidence. Talk to someone about it. And seek to gain that confidence. Seek to make sure that you are on the right track, but then just be encouraged. If you know you're where you're supposed to be, you're probably going to have doubt at some point. You're probably going to have days that are difficult. But just know that God's with you in those days. Jesus is going through those things with you.